interrupting the current Neo, New Corona, Monkeypox, Sustainable, Unitarianism, Cricketism. Like I said, they're piling it on, folks. Or just, they're just not looking around seeing anybody really mention anything about it. Instead, they throw more bones for people to demonstrate and to fire up. And that's a whole nother, in a way, it's a big joke. But despite all that, trying to stop the cricketism, bring you behind the woodshed, which is you bringing others that are supposed to do right for you in this thing we call a government that has turned on us, actually, a long time ago. And I mean, within 20 or something, 20 some odd years here, everyone is continuing to be the cricket too. And the place is wired that you can't be crickets. You can't be comfortable. You can't be feeling it's a warm summer day. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 479. As they continue the heat on top of the heat. Boy, we turned it over real quick this week. Being free is not a spectator sport. I don't know how much clearer I can say this. So get you behind the woodshed. Not to receive any lashings, to start giving them. And in the absence of you responding, these criminals in official places take advantage. And they count on you not responding. And I don't know what more to say. People haven't seen that. And a lot of people haven't. I say that almost as a joke, too. If you can't see how this works and you continue to be rain silent as they push this thing over the cliff and you are in the buggy with it, shame on us in a way. Neither am I suggesting that it's going to be easy. War is not easy. I think space is getting hard. Space is hard to get into. No, war is hard to engage and then stop. As we see miscreants on both sides of the so-called aisle, there is no aisle. It's a big amorphous amoeba, a parasitic amoeba. They call it government. It's not, but that's what people call it. And then they don't like that it doesn't function. Well, it's not intended to function. Senate releases text on gun bill that would mark biggest change in decades. Now, I don't even know where to begin or end with a lot of this discussion. My listeners likely know all the stuff I might actually say. What I try to bring is insights on what we might look at, what we might be approaching in order to prepare our minds when we are faced with it locally, if we're not going to do much more than to wait for the war to come till we see the whites of their eyes. It really is not going to work like that either. And that whites of their eyes didn't mean you're going to now go to the Second Amendment they keep constraining on you. But I didn't think that there was a biggest change in decades that could be made against a right that shall not be infringed. That said, there's an article will explain to you what the text of those so-called changes are, the incremental encroachments, which are agreed to by both Republican and Democrat, in order to make it sound as if there are reasonable, sensible restrictions they can place. And what I think is lost underneath all this is the presumption, a presumption they move on. Remember, COVID was moved on a presumption, not an actual thing. Presumptions are not emergency. Presumptions of an emergency is not an emergency. But this is where the government has gone. That they are moving on the presumption that you need to be controlled. That your right shall not be infringed is only once you've passed through all the hoops. The title here is that the text of a gun bill that would mark the biggest change in decades. I didn't know they amended the Constitution of the Second Amendment, for thou shalt not infringe. And you listen, we've watched the incrementalism that I speak about in other areas approach and be addressing this Second Amendment right. Now, in a way, I understand what they're trying to do. What I also know is that they make it, with all the checks and balances they claim are being put in place, What you don't know is they move the goalposts. You know that my listeners should know that they do that. And you think yourself mentally healthy. And I told you that one of the main problems with all these incremental nature things is the benefit of keeping everybody safe from the mentally unstable. And that I've told you for over a decade. I've experienced and seen and witnessed my friends experience. The very first thing is they challenge your mental health. That you're going to watch underneath these laws, these pits of condemnation sitting, that are the incremental ability for them to approach and remove you from your right, and plausibly so, whether it's not actually legal. This is partly why I don't know where to begin on some of this. We don't want mentally ill people running around the country. But they don't come first to deal with the mentally ill. No, they put them out in society decades ago. And then let that fester. And then do all the things that they do in order to cause the confusions you watch in people. Now, part of these bills you'll read for is the red flag, incremental nature to call you. They call it due process, walking before a bar member whose membership embraces the UN's knot tied in the barrel of a gun symbol in the plaza, the pistol of which they don't want you to use. One of those bar members that are promoting that, like they promote sustainable development against you, they sit on the bench, they've subverted your judiciaries, making horrendous decisions. In fact, this weekend, looking through a book on equity, a treatise on equity, Pomeroy, as I was directed to go find, digging through one problem, one deception, took all day yesterday, one page, to dig through and figure out how the deception works, to try to out it. What these bar members do under color of judiciary injustice. What they are going to do to people under the second, that think they have a Second Amendment right, to put you in things that they look like, you look at it and say, well, I'm none of that, I'm fine. And you don't think through all the weaknesses and surfaces of attack they've put upon what you think is fine now, that they can move through and quickly destroy in you and bring you subject. In these bills. The text is here. You can read it in this article link. I guess I should just stop there. It doesn't, in a way, my mind just wants to give up a bit and shrug my shoulders. It doesn't matter because it's not seemingly able to matter. Everyone just stops at the saying, I have a Second Amendment right, not realizing how the lawyership, the bar association, the legal rationale, the denial of remedy, that comes under color of justice, under color of judiciary, has eviscerated whatever you thought you had a right to do. But when they identify you individually, your Second Amendment is useless to you. Go ahead, pull your trigger. Pull all the ammunition you can throw in a gun as fast as you can. Tell me how long that lasts for you. Oh, maybe in the moments you feel like you're defending your rights and you're justified the martyr that you is. That's not going to help. I can't see that it's going to help. But it's not that I don't believe that the militia, if you will, the people, don't have that right to alter or abolish, and that could be one of the options. Anyway, so here we are. Right as we moved along, it has been going on. It was predictable they would use this Uvalde thing, as at least one of the others that all happened, in order to instigate these things, and now they try to bring common sense regulation to infringe in ways that are not direct, and it's an indirect attack that I keep telling you to be careful of, that adjunct indirect attack. Why we have to have savings clauses, because there's an occupation over you of this, let's say, alternative dispute resolution. Instead of you get to go to, typically, unless if you know better about the savings clauses, that they get to put you through, which has nothing to do with the judiciary. Interestingly, I was involved in the case that caused that to move in 1993, I think it was. I find fascinating, though I don't think I did much, that where I've been in my time just happened to find things that we were doing that are critical to what how they're taking you down today. In other words, that gave me the insight, folks. I don't know what more to say. Maybe that's why people don't see it as clearly as I do. Maybe you appreciate what I'm saying because you trust in that, but that's not going to be enough for us as they incrementally move. And I'm wasting too much time on this issue. It's not about the Second Amendment. That shall not be infringed. It's how they're infringing, how they create a condition that they place you in. You have no clue that you can be put in. And they do it by third-party tattletale, if you will, even. And then they get to question you. And they do it with their own agents and licensees. Maybe it isn't so much appreciated how they're dismantling your ability to use, just even generally, your right to bear arms. And certainly never, probably ever, saying what that arm is about. I don't understand how anybody can say that against the right to alter and abolish the government, the purpose for the Second Amendment, the ultimate purpose for the Second Amendment, they can call you mentally unfit. But they do. Anyway, I don't know. It's not my argument. There's going to be a whole bigger unified, if we're going to do the mutual understanding of what's happening and a mutual response. And I'm absolutely hoping that it never really utilizes the Second Amendment. I'm telling you, they're taking that away from you. It's not taking away from you. They're doing an adjunct block. They're putting a false front between you and that, and they get the so-called precedent in order to keep that there. And they know the people are ineffectual in mutual aid. They realize that alter and abolish provision will never happen. Ever. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to say it that way. Moving on. When you see inside what they can do inside that bill that the GOP also agrees to, turncoats that they are, there's no countermeasure for the insidious attack services they've created that they call reasonable, to be able to come in and take your Second Amendment right. Man and woman by man and woman. I've told you this is not going to be a frontal assault, and they get you to man up, woman up together, arm up, and defend yourself. It's not coming like that. Here we have the next story that shows you how they're going to start to move incrementally. Social media posts could lead to gun confiscation under proposed red flag laws, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf suggests. I'm going to tell you that's exactly how they do it. This is going to be the social credit construct as well. This internet has been a trap, and they're going to now use it and spring it at some point. But I don't know what else I need to say. They talk about red flag laws in the first sentence, and what you'll find in that legislation, the turncoats that they are doing to change the biggest change in decades, there's no change to the fundamental right. They're changing your relationship relevant to that fundamental right. And they talk about red flag laws right here, allow us to take action when someone who has a gun begins to act erratically. If you're not into the social justice condition, if you're not into behaving like you're supposed to, if you say the wrong things, think the wrong thoughts, that's going to be considered acting erratically, and that decision is not for you to make. So, the writing's on the wall here. Read the links. Understand how they're doing it. Don't think that you have a Second Amendment right when they take, it's like a felon. They make you a felon. Do you have a right? This is the danger I've found in that. And then that's a lingering stench on you for about ever. Very difficult. Again, the same system you go back to ask permission to have it released. Felon is the extension moved into social media. You're already considered an enemy combatant. That's why you're presumed to be guilty to have to get the permissions. No one's even challenging this stuff. Where did that happen? That anybody was presumed to be anything, that they have to go ask permission for a right granted to them. But no, the Bar Association members have said, no, there's going to be reasonable restrictions on that. What is that? Well, against just the ad hoc use of a firearm, maybe I guess they can do it, but against the right to bear arms for the purpose of stopping a tyrannical government? When does mental capacity interfere with that? At any moment. At any moment. Anyway, that's for us to get together to decide. I'm hearing crickets. I'm here behind the woodshed to try and get us to not be those crickets and to start responding a little more cohesively, if nothing else. As we as we see now, I didn't get to a lot of tabs last week. I'm going to go through some of these with some interjections for this week to keep confirming everything going on. The idea here is that they want to control guns because they kill and all this other stuff. We got to stop this senseless killing. We're going to focus on the mentally ill and some other types. They even extend through boyfriends and girlfriends when you've had a domestic dispute, or maybe even plausibly so on the record, as you see another type of encroachment going on. Now, here we have a link to a broadcast, I guess, that was done on the internet, the Jimmy Dore Show. I just want to look at it yourself. The title of this caught me. It was "The Cities End to Minor Traffic Stops so Cops Won't Kill People." Well, that's right. I got this from an emailer. Thank you very much for that. I made some comments to this, and I don't remember exactly what they are now, but I wanted you to point out that you see the use of insanity and mental instability where the cities are starting to recognize that if you stop having cops interact with people, the armed cops, that you believe that that's going to stop some killings. Here's the kind of approach I'm talking about. Instead of infringing and making up this incrementalness, they could be doing these things. My problem a bit with this is that the cities end minor traffic stops so cops won't kill people. Is it admission that cops kill people? They don't do anything much about that. They're going to limit that exposure by ending minor traffic stops. But you notice they did not address the core issue, which is, I think I'm remembering I mentioned in a response, was that these so-called traffic stops in large part are unlawful because most of you all are not doing commerce. Most of you all, and they don't talk about that in this video, so I want you to understand that. They expose that the city's answer to get the cops to stop killing you is to remove the amount of interaction you have, but they won't stop their ability to continue the fraud and derive and the revenue stream that having these cops stop you for any traffic action that you're not actually doing, removing that and admitting to that and stopping that. That would just eliminate a lot of contact. And so I have a criticism that the people that are doing the video, Jimmy Dore, may not even understand these things. They might have actually argue with me, well, we need this stuff. What I want you to understand is when you look at what appears to be the better interpretation, even as traffic ordinances for reasonable use of the road above and beyond your granted rights of ingress and egress, the code, the motor vehicle code, can be viewed and applied as a standard of reasonable use for the purposes of liability in response to a property damage and the assessment of liability and value for the damage done. That's not also how the cities are responding. No, they're saying we're just going to continue the fraud that everybody's in trafficking, and we're going to keep our revenue streams, or we're just going to limit. We admit that cops kill people. Not guns. Cops. Did the Republicans and the Democrats hear that little story? No, it's your governmental military that's killing people, not the guns. But that we now can look at this, and I want to broach this a bit. Don't run to the courts and tell them this. It'll come out this way. They don't want you to know it, just like they want to convolute a whole lot of things. They're now using the blindfold now to blind themselves, not to be neutral and dispense justice, but to be able to perpetrate injustice under color of the authority of doing justice. The motor vehicle code could be in its more appropriate application applied to people that are not in commerce, because those codes are actually the standard of due care, if you will, on the road. But they're not a revenue enhancement tool against most people. They actually, if I look at, I can go deeper because of the 1866 Section 8 grant of the use of the construction of the highway and the lack of mode of use restriction, but the open grant of use, that even commerce may not be able to be regulated the way they do. But let's not push it so far. I just want to throw that in your ear a bit here. We go back and we see the motor vehicle code as a standard of due care for commerce. It would work as a standard of due care for everybody, but not for the sake of enforcement or fines or taxes or insurance or any of that. It works as a standard of care to show liability and offsets and where the cost and damages should be assessed. If you look at insurance, financial responsibility, and you look how it actually, when you read it, you read the code for how it actually implements, it's supposed to be used after a conviction where there's damages. In other words, if you look at it in the context of a bankruptcy application, there's no business that should be bankrupted by the damages, the judgments against it, financial or otherwise. And so this bankruptcy protection can come to bear, which is federal as well, federal exclusive jurisdiction, to come to cover this. And so the states have complied with that by saying, if you get a judgment for a damages that you can't pay again, in commerce, you are not to be destroyed. You can go to an insurance agent and they'll work out a policy based on your ability to pay that judgment over time so that you're not destroyed. It is a better interpretation. I think it is the interpretation as I've looked at it for decades, folks, to apply all this. That the cities in this video, the Jimmy Dore show, and not to judge what they're talking about here or condemn them at all or not what they're not talking about. I want you to know another element of what your mind might be able to put toward this. That the cities stop these minor traffic cops to distance them from the killer cops, not the guns, but they still aren't talking about the truth, nor is anybody delving into what I'm suggesting to you should be the more peaceful, the more appropriate application, the least amount of government intrusion altogether, which also tones down, in one regard, the reaction of the people with the government as all. It also moves the responsibility between us, the people, not between you and the government for the sake of being the mom or pop in our lives. And so I just want to point out, it's not guns that kill. It's admitted here in this report that cops kill. What I find interesting is I've had this link for me. I just haven't been able to get to it for quite a few weeks. And then these other stories pop up that this folds in, I think, nicely to show us there's another way that these usurpers in office could be going, and they don't. Even to the cities that would say, oh, we're going to separate our cops as much as possible from the people. Because they kill. What else is killing? As I said, a business, a property, values. Cops kill. Cops kill all kinds. They don't need a gun. Report shows Kansas law enforcement seized $21 million from people, most of whom were never charged with crimes. Do I need to read more? This is old story. This is the asset forfeiture nonsense. Some states are stepping up to do some, but they never get to the point of it all either. They said crime here. Remember, we're talking minor traffic violations are not crimes. However, you'll notice they do have to go through criminal procedure law. It's not actually civil. It's a criminal procedure. In other words, you have a different set of rights, a different set of protections. And that's not civil protections, it's criminal protections, which can be used, if you will, to set aside things, which I've had done and I've explained to you about. But remember here, they were not supposed to be doing any kind of seizures unless they're crimes, but that the cops in Kansas, Toto, who we were just talking about last week, same place, they seized $21 million from people, and there's no crime, and apparently there's no remedy for that. And if there is, there's no one stepping up to highlight the remedy so that people can force to stop that in Kansas and relative to the theft that is, armed theft that does. How many people die, if you will, from an interaction where they feel wronged because of this type of thing, and the cops win? Apparently they went to the tune and the profit of $21 million, which they then put into infrastructure and things to do more of the same plunder. But see, piracy is lawful in the United States of America. Go read the Constitution. You'll find it under the ability of the government to write letters of marque and reprisal, if you hadn't heard before. So, what kills? Cops. Cops kill. Cops steal. Plunder. Police linked to hacking campaign to frame Indian activists. This is East Indian. Police forces around the world now expanded quickly, didn't it? Have increasingly used hacking tools to identify and track protesters, expose political dissidents' secrets, and turn activists' computers and phones into inescapable eavesdropping bugs. Inescapable? That's a choice. And this is the danger that we're seeing. And we're seeing the infiltration of the internet that was started as a military project, fulfilled, and the military police, listen, they have military rank, they use military time, they have military protocols, etc., and all, so on. And we will deny, we know them by their deeds, but no, we would deny the deeds, and we'll say, oh no, they're here to help us. They're here to serve the public, and then we'd forget to know that public means government, not us, the people, in our non-individuated capacity. Police forces are using the tool they're handing you for future technocratic track tracing and validation under things like red flag laws. If you think it's mental right now and all that's going to be mental questioning, you're deluded as well. It'll be whatever doesn't match and meet your carbon footprint, your global warming problem. You're going to, I think it's even in the news by now, you're going to watch that the climate change problem will cause a lockdown. At least they'll try to claim it. Why did they get that? Because you didn't respond properly to the Rona. That was a song, my Rona. Police linked a hacking campaign to frame Indian activists is not even outlawed. It's what they get to do. Now, what the court's going to come through and say is, and start to divide this thing up, and I was going to talk about it this weekend, that came up about the Miranda case. I've talked about all that. That's what I want to really talk about, some of this. I've mentioned it before. You've got to know your rights. It's not up to the cop to tell you, actually. It's up for you to keep your mouth shut and do what you need to do to make the record to get into court. And the courts are saying you get to go into their courts to get that worked out relative to evidence. And then again, the traffic would be criminal procedural, not civil procedural. So the cops are gaining this advantage by the Bar Association to continue this oppression. It makes some plausible sense, but actually not. When you look at their continuing a fraud against you, let's say for traffic, most of this, these cops and this confiscation is due to traffic. There's no real remedy against it. The police then use tools to hack and infringe upon your privacy, and that's still okay. To the point that I told you that the control of the internet is in the government, and whatever they really want to do is in another story showing you. And this is tying to the crypto thing, the blockchain. And again, to me, blockchain crypto coin is a bit of a nonsensical diversion, in that your entire social credit is a token. It's reduced to a value. It's likely controlled, guaranteed, modified, bonded, and monetized. So let's understand, I've talked about all this before. People are going to be, there's going to be financiers making money on the fact that you are guaranteed locked in. That guarantee allows them to insure it and then monetize even just the insurance, not the product. Again, they get around how all this works. You listen to the trusts set up here and you'll understand how the system starts to work. That the governments will declare a thing. The crypto coin can be outlawed. Yeah, you can feel that you're an organized criminal, that you can run and run and run, and the FBI can hunt you down. You can use crypto and they can't find you. But not most of the people will do this. That the governments can impose something and the people that use the internet will capitulate. We talked about the crypto miners in China moving. Oh, yeah, you got it. You can't stop us. Yeah, they stopped them in China. Well, here's another story now. Moving outside of crypto and moving into India, VPN firms are removing servers in India ahead of new rules, showing you that the governments have a ton of control over what's going to happen over the internet. But you can be the savvy, tech-minded coding coder that can get around all this, but most people can't do it. I can't do it. I think I would like to know more on how to do it. I'm looking for the coders that can make the programs that allow us to be in the matrix, in the sewers of the matrix, so that we can run around and be chased by the Centurion. You want to do that? That's exciting. What happened to the peace in the world? What happened to us just leaving, being left alone? Is our choice, because this digital world is a selection, an election. That's your election's going to be there, and it's going to divorce everything else you thought was voting. VPN firms are now removing servers in India ahead of new rules. They're not even questioning it. There's a couple that are holding back, but they're being threatened that your anonymity conditions are being anticipated. NordVPN, one of the most popular VPN providers, is the latest to confirm that it will be removing its servers ahead of the nation's enacting new strict guidelines later this month. A Lithuania-based firm, from which General Catalyst and Novator, among its backers, is valued at $1.6 billion. If you think money can buy these people off, no, these governments are controlling, said on Tuesday that it doesn't maintain any logs of its customers' data strings and the information that New Delhi will soon require VPN providers to share. Well, apparently they do have data, otherwise they wouldn't have to move their servers. But to their credit, there is this thing called Know Your Customer Law, which may require that they create a file. However, I've looked at this and I've read about NordVPN. It's like, no, these people don't not collect information. And I think this is a truce. So we're seeing a little bit of a lie going on, and they're being forced, but there's also another imposition going on. Know your customer. That means know you, my listener. My social credit threatened, remove your Second Amendment rights, listener, because you're an erratic thinker. So here's the writing on the wall, how the governments can control who provides service, what that service is, and what they get to know. And it's going to, even with $1.6 billion, that company is not going to fight. They're not here to protect you. And we move into another style of control. I want to show you the control of this digital world. Why it's going to be so important that we avoid it, at least in the ways they want it used. And if we can use it in the way we need, but don't make it an integral part of our lives. Again, don't take the mark where don't get into the system and allow the system to be created that you need to have that mark, this condition on you in order to buy, sell, trade, or whatever. Or, as I've been offering, find where you have the vested, the secured, saved antecedent right that they can't touch. That's another place to go. I've been telling you kind of how to do that. Kind of because you got to really work it and to get work out the bugs in it for you. And it's not complete because the tyrant always has the gun that they kill with to remove you as an example anyway. The EU aims to clinch a deal on landmark crypto law this month. France, EU Parliament are optimistic about agreement on MiCA. Negotiators still split on a few areas, such as including NFTs. And the story is beginning. The European Union is nearing an agreement on key legislation to regulate the cryptocurrency sector that would set common rules across the 27 member states, people familiar with the matter said. That is exactly what I said would happen. The governments would mostly embrace the cryptocurrency, because I think it's just getting people into their tokenization of your life through what we see as social credit, the word credit meaning debt. The debt attached is the prosperity, called austerity, under the goals of the Agenda 2030. So this is why it's all predictable where this ends up going, and you find out that it does go there, and I don't know what the question is anymore, and why people continue to allow it to work. Maybe I'm so out of touch that maybe I'm such a hermit that I don't see all the vast, grand things that are going on to stop what we see or to create a place and a space and a knowledge amongst people. Maybe I'm missing this knowledge amongst people that says that you have the answer. But the European Union is regulating, as I said they would, in this cryptocurrency sector. They have to, unless they outlaw you like China and chase you down. And I think they're willing to chase you down in China. Point is, you got both worlds right there. They're both no good for a cryptocurrency world, if you continue to call it cryptocurrency. And you see that they have a question whether the NFTs will be there. Why? I think that's because that's monetizing a piece of property and putting a value on it. And I'm not sure that's still going to be a protection, but it's a consideration to look at if they're not, if the government isn't going to regulate that, or they listen to why they can't, it may provide for an avenue, not an NFT, because that's already defined now and used, an avenue for setting up the structure of something that they're not willing to chase you on. That's all conjecture in my mind. I think this digital world's locked in, unless you want to play games like living in the sewer and being chased by the Centurion. The Matrix is not a movie here. A Chinese city uses COVID-19 app to prevent bank protesters from gathering. So we have the direct connection to your social credit, as I've been saying, well, in the news, as I've been saying for years before, how they do this, how this has worked out, that the COVID app, the COVID app's covering whatever disease they think you might be that they need to control in you. So let's look at that, because COVID is here as a fraud anyway, right? It's a cover. It's a fraudulent cover for everything else that they may feel in you, you enemy combatant you, as this thing moves right on forward. Remember, they laid that anchor and that foundation down over two decades ago. And it's not going away. It's sticking and it's holding fast. For those of you looking at the Admiralty side of this. Chinese city uses COVID app to prevent bank protesters from gathering, depositors say. I don't even know why do I read more? Why do we need to read more? Look at how the government uses this. And look at the confirmation relative to what you may have studied and found, and what I've been saying and finding and predicting would have to be based in what we're seeing is the language coming out of governments and the deceptions coming out of governments or political parties, and looking under the skin of how they make loose sand around your feet that you think is a foundation to rely upon. Well, I got that Second Amendment right. You're not going to go there. And before you get there, before you finally move, they're going to find you out through your social account somewhere. And if not through the neighbor witness who just gained a whole lot of points to identify you not in the system, you asymptomatic. To focus in on you and cause this to be upon you. Again, this is a war. And they've got us figured out. And I don't think we have. And we certainly don't know, have them figured out, unless you're listening a bit behind the woodshed and follow the lead of the things I've been telling you to start getting a glimpse of what's potential. Chinese city uses COVID-19 app to prevent bank protesters from gathering is also a way to keep you from your bank, keep you from your funds. They use a red health code. It's like a red flag law. They use a red health code indicating a potential COVID-19 patient on a presumed, not found, but a presumed potential idea that there's an emergency to do. Boy, they've gotten a lot of mileage on this thing. At any rate, you get this, and then in this state, they can block you out. They tell you all the things you can block out, be blocked out of. In this case, the bank is stopping and interfering with the bank access, loans, and all that other stuff. You can read about it. Exactly what, again, cryptocurrency will be all part of that. I don't know what we do more to say that social credit is cryptocurrency debt. However you feel, however the promoters say it's autonomous and it's the answer, the way it's set up is not the answer. The way you access it is not the answer. And for those of you that think you can dabble in it, you're going to find the players of the financial system, the debt system, are all on board. They have been for years. I've reported all this. And you're going to see what I've told you before about the new standard coming on. You know, if you don't meet the social, environmental, and whatever, what's the other one? Standard. You're going to be deprived and denied. If you do that standard, you're going to be enriched. You think it's enriched, but forget the slavery. MasterCard, set to control the social behavior of 3 billion cardholders, from losing points for eating meat to gaining points to thinking correct thoughts about the climate. Points means prizes. Your future starts here, unless you hold your line. Twitter, from Bernie's tweets, shows you a video explaining what they're doing and what they're after. MasterCard. I wondered where they would place their part when we go directly to the Fed as a trust account. And it's a third party, not the government, it's a third party trust account. Well, it looks like MasterCard's positioning itself to be the interpreter of your social credit, to control your social behavior. And 3 billion people, I guess, are on tap. Just listen to the video, folks. It's just everything you'd want to hear in a utopian hell. But they're giving you the carrot. What I talk about, I've already done a broadcast called The Carrot and the Stick. MasterCard. You get this, folks. How long ago was this set up when they said? They must have laughed when they set this stuff up, these names. MasterCard, set to control the social behavior of 3 billion. They're not going to control it. They're going to get people to go ahead and consent to it. They're going to, what's the phrase there? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, or something like that? Points means prizes, folks. Do you ever collect stamps? Green stamps, folks? Do you ever, I use anybody that old to correct green stamps? Put them in a big old book, thousands in a book or something, to get the pittance for a return? Yeah, that's what it is. Loyalty points, folks? You do that in your Safeway card? You think it's just MasterCard? It's not even, it's involved beyond MasterCard already. So, MasterCard set to control social behavior. They're going to entice you to control your own behavior because they give you prizes. It's the global casino. Just swipe again, folks. Just swipe again. And swipe on those things we want you to swipe. Whoa, swipe is theft. Keep swiping. Oh, boy. What are we doing to ourselves? Maybe that's the joke. Maybe I'm finally coming out. I'm done. It's over. I'll just watch how the rest of it falls over the edge and see how they come after someone like myself and maybe yourself when you're not the one with all the numbers and they know that. Boca Raton police to join statewide facial recognition program to help them do exactly what I just said, find you out when you're not in their database. When you go down the road and you're on one of those things on the highway, those sensors on the highway, as I told you, when your car doesn't trigger the correct code when you go over it, the police that can kill you are right down the road to see that you didn't trigger the sensor. You're an outlaw. You need to be punished. You're mentally unfit. Boca Raton police to join statewide facial recognition program. If you didn't already know it was going on in Florida, everyone wants to exalt Florida for what it's doing. No, none of these folks are doing any good at all. And the people aren't doing any good for themselves. But it's the city of Boca Raton is letting its police force, letting, like some lease, I guess, its police force participate, partnership, global partners in a statewide facial recognition program joining hundreds of communities in Florida employing the controversial crime-fighting technology. When I say communities, well, unless your constitution identifies your county as a community, a community is a veneer of authority. You're already done as far as that goes. It doesn't say counties. It doesn't be sub-counties. A subset of counties, a city, a council, no less, not the county, has unanimously approved the partnership, public-private partnership, with Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. Oh, those must be a different entity than you think, as we'll probably find out when you look at their CAFR, which, according to the data from the FBI, partnershiping with the feds, that means that a database that draws from over 38 million photos of driver's license photos, mugshots, and images taken by or provided by law enforcement from security footage. As we've seen some states now ordering businesses. Was that in Texas? Don't mess with Texas. Was that in Texas that ordering that businesses have to have these cameras? What about that alliance and partnership between the, what is it, the wrist or something cameras on your house? All that stuff. Most major law enforcement agencies in South Florida currently use facial recognition technology. Quote, essentially, this system is a face and biometric comparison tool used to assist in obtaining investigative leads by identifying persons of interest to law enforcement without probable cause or an articulable basis for the need. We'll stop there. Did you know that Florida was already involved in facial recognition? So while we're talking about certain places are not getting it, and certain places are outlawing it, very few, this thing is already rolling. It's all part of that biometric connection. A CNN analyst suggests inflation needed to achieve green agenda. So while they're plundering all your property, the cops are, and killing you, admitted by the city to try and limit your exposure to them. And while they are now getting facial recognition to bring you in even more and further. Why? Because under facial recognition, and you're out in the public, they claim they have the right to do that without a warrant in order to get your face, and they find that you're not in their database, they get to come after you and investigate why you aren't part of the program. Why are you so mentally defective that you're not part of the program, folks? What program? The Green Agenda, of course. Analysts suggest inflation needed to achieve the Green Agenda. Well, haven't we talked about that? It's not just the inflation. It's causing you to go into austerity. It's the mismanagement, actually, by the Fed that's going to be your trustee over your digital currency under the color that they're managing it correctly. It's the use of the fiat currency at all, moving and translating it over one, I said two steps last time, it's two steps removed from even any tangibility to the government, any kind of reliance on the government, because you go to the Fed, you're in a private condition, and then in a trust obligation, that you're the beneficiary, having no control whatsoever. But the CNN analysis suggests, this is beyond suggestion, this is exactly one of the tools. Inflation was one of the tools to drive this. Part of the excuse for Russia and the Ukraine condition. They want to bring you down. They want to bring you into not being able to continue to function. Like locking you down for the Rona, they're going to lock you down in other ways that they don't need Rona now. You just don't have the money. The money that you have is going to be divided to have and to be. What are you not going to use? And a lot of this is going to happen to turn down those, to cause you to meet their goals. It's all fraud, the carbon thing, all that nonsense. This green agenda is climate change and it's political climate. It has nothing to do with the weather. Nothing. We all know that. In fact, here, they state specifically to the green agenda and carbon taxation. And I understand without the link, came late right after I put the links together. Alberta, Canada, about 3 weeks ago, if I have this information right, removed their carbon taxation excise, and the prices of fuel dropped over almost 40 cents, and grocery stores dropped their prices. Because of, I didn't realize that they were, I knew that they'd been doing it, but I guess it ran out. Their carbon taxation ran out. Look at the cost of this carbon taxation fraud on the lives of the people of Kanukistan, and you'll see it's going to be multiplied against the United States. That's how just one place was freed. Because their carbon taxation ended. And now we'll watch. I want everyone to watch very carefully. Does Alberta turn into a glowing cinder due to global warming? Pay attention, folks. Be careful. See, they've raised your governments to the ground. They've raised your freedoms to the ground. They've moved you from what you thought and how quickly were rights and your ability to be free into being controlled by the next bureaucrat to have a say, next expert, the next so-called scientist to use statistics to defeat you. And I've been attempting to try and get people to see, find the objective basis for the duties and obligations. You have to find their duties and obligations and really nothing else. In fact, I got an email just before the broadcast. It speaks specifically, at the very end of the presentation was specifically that there was no duty identified upon which a civil rights claim could be made at the federal court. And I use civil rights advisedly. So, again, I didn't get to respond to that, but it comes up over and over, looking for the duties and obligations. Underneath the green agenda, there's no duties and obligations. It is on you. You are presumed to be the defect of whatever nature. So an analyst broaches on CNN, broaches the idea that inflation is needed to achieve the green. It isn't a suggestion. It's one of the tools. It's not needed. It's what they were going to implement. And they are. And it is a tool that they're using to achieve the green agenda. It's not so green. And it's not so utopic, if that a word. What they did, though, is they got you primed for it, just as I said they would, with the fraud of a communicable disease. And that's all been playing out, all the stuff that I've been saying, I've been really checking to make sure, did I advise everybody correctly? Did I see correctly? Was I shown correctly? So far, so good, folks. Continue. I'm just blown away. I'm blown away how accurate things can be determined ahead of time. That I wanted to direct you to a video. Kind of rounds this thing out. It gives you a little more supply. It was supposed to come out a few weeks ago. I just haven't had the chance to get to it. It's called the viral delusion, the tragic pseudoscience of SARS-CoV-2. And I get a link to that. It's hard to find that document, as you would understand. They move it around. And I've actually subsequently been given a link to a better copy. I took a copy. It's doctors and people talking about the crime against us and how it didn't make sense. And I think the documents, they're authoritative enough to give you a line in on how, if you didn't want to hear it from me, they give you a better line in on how it all was what it was about. I want you to have it. I want you to see it. This is I don't really like the word pseudoscience. I don't know. There's just something about using the word science. I guess I hold that up higher. Our quest for knowledge and our continuing challenge of ourselves and our knowledge, I put it somewhat of a high esteem, might be because I wanted to do that, I wanted to get in that field, and to say something is pseudoscience and giving credibility to that part of the fraud bothers me a bit. Maybe this is a private thing. I'd like to exalt, if you will, our question of ourselves and our place within our environment than to tie in fraud to science. It's not science at all. Because science is a big question, isn't it? And it's a fascinating quest, in a way, done at least the way I was told it was supposed to be done. Nothing like what has happened, because it was a premeditated fraud extended around the globe and aided and abetted, if nothing more, aided and abetted by every jurisdiction that never stopped to say, I have a duty and obligation under the law to verify that we have an actual infectious agent, not a presumptive nothing, an idea out there maybe, a presumptive disease. No, I have to find the actual infectious cause. That's my duty. As a dutiful public government, people servant, no jurisdiction in the world did that. And am I so arrogant to say they, without support, they ought to? No, every one of your rule of law and democracy nations Every one of those nations run by the brand of rule o' law and democracy of the Bar Association has that requirement, none of which was provided for you, to you, and none of you demanded necessarily. Some of you sent letters, found out there was nothing, and they're not going to get anything, proving the point, proving presumptive things are not actual non-fraudulent exigencies to be able to declare an emergency. This viral delusion is a very interesting, I think it's over two hours of discussion by people who have studied this, walked into some of this saying, wait a minute, I hear what they're saying, but something's not making sense, and I want you to see it. I think it's important. Take notes. I can, without too much hesitation, go ahead and go with what's going on. I have some certain thoughts and approaches that are not spoken to. That's irrelevant to just watching what the information is. If you needed a 2-hour primer on what was going on, why it didn't go on, this video works out pretty well as we move now into the failures that come from that. If you extrapolate what could come, as I've talked about behind the woodshed, nothing new here behind the woodshed. And everywhere, everything is pretty consistent, as I claimed or said and found it would have to go. Will a COVID-19 vaccine save lives is a British medical journal entry. Current trials aren't designed to tell us, it says. Absolutely. That's what I've said. They will not test for what they have to find. They were testing to find what, to do what. They're not testing for that they would actually work, but that they could claim some benefit to move them from a chemical weapon, a prohibited chemical weapon, into an accepted chemical weapon under Title 50 for the United States. The British Medical Journal, which I found very interesting, they call it BMJ.com. Try to find out what BMJ means was a task. I found it in the margin. As they adjust everything and they change the name, they don't even want to talk. They don't want to mention British. It's just not just BMJ. But will COVID vaccines save lives? The current trials aren't designed to tell us. That's right. And so when you start understanding that, you don't expect it. You just realize this is part of the mechanisms and fraud that's being perpetrated on us. And everybody that is relying to the contrary is an aider and abettor, or an actual principal advancing organized crime against everyone. The world has bet the farm on vaccines as a solution to the pandemic, but the trials are not focused on answering the questions many might assume they are. And it goes and explains how this is the fact. And just as I've told you, they couldn't, they won't. And it's not about that. And so if you understand what it's about, you don't expect this to happen. You can predict that it's not going to happen. It just takes time. I told you over two years now, it would take time for the mass of the fraud, its momentum, to be caught up with by the people and to be explained out if you won't take it behind the woodshed. Australian National Review states severe COVID-19 rare in unvaccinated people. Survey review. So let's not go to the bank with this too hard, except the survey of people showed, as a reprint off of ResearchGate presents, that more than 18,500 respondents from the control group project, with more than 300,000 overall participants, that analysis revealed that compared to those who got jabbed, unvaccinated people report fewer hospitalizations. You can read this article. Is this a surprise? Now, in Australia, where they were the worst abused people that didn't respond, probably biggest crickets there. Did I explain how they could go after it? And Max Egan, where are you? I know, I understand now you moved to Mexico. Hope you're doing well. Excuse me. Severe symptoms, rare in unvaccinated people, is not even a surprise. Because I said, and I clearly explained and showed, the stickers that they gave us were the chemical weapon delivery system. It wouldn't happen. Things wouldn't happen until that actually, they got people to take that, accept it. And I have to apologize to Sound Minds as we have a problem as he's streaming. I should have figured out better alternative words so that YouTube wouldn't give him trouble. Sorry, soundbite. I guess I should have put a little more thought to that. But to unvaccinated people? Yeah, no problem, folks. Because I saw on Twitter, you folks are going to be the witnesses to all the harm now. You'll survive enough to watch the fall, whatever that is. Although I don't know that it's going to be too obvious. Everything's really hidden. And there's going to be denials of their own. I've had it experienced myself, my own family. They're in denial about what could happen. Right now, luckily, some happen, but not the worst. And so the ticking goes on with this condition of the sticker shock. Severe. I gave you a couple of links here. We're going to move a little bit just to confirm. I didn't believe what I was reading. Sometimes I go look and see if there's cooperating discussion. And sure enough, there was more references to severe Rona rare in people who didn't get vaccine. Again, reciting the same survey. So without getting too deep, and I didn't need to worry about getting too deep. I don't think none of us do need to get too deep. The failure did not cause anything. Asymptomatics are not the problem. They did themselves a favor to take a step back. Whether or not they would have approached it the way I said, to get the official to declare you inside of that principal contagion, that would have helped, I think, as we're seeing some of the way the courts are treating this. But again, I don't know what more to say than the read the title, and then you can see when you read the story is consistent enough. The analysis is pretty clear, even as a survey. If you were just to get the gossip around town, like I did early on, are you sick? Are you feeling symptoms? What kind of symptoms? What is that actually doing? Oh, you do feel sick. Oh, how deep? What kind? You found out pretty quickly as a survey, nothing that they claimed on the officials, the experts say, was even occurring. And it also, the survey of the gossip of the community was sufficient to point it us to, anybody who did, that it was really what we're dealing with is the flu in all of its kinds of permutations. And then experientially, I've had the flu in the past. It can knock you down for quite a long time. That's what I was hearing. My view. So this is not a surprise story. It's just a surprise that they're now mentioning it. Why? Well, I think that they need to move on. I told you the governments need to limit liability somehow. They need to get people to stop the division about asymptomatics. That's a clear fraud. There's no, in fact, that's what the viral delusion is about. It one part, it explains. If you didn't need to hear it or didn't read it yourself, there's some other people that have done the study and will tell you there is no proof that asymptomatic condition is contagious. I can't help laugh just talking about that. There's just no, everyone's looking for the evidence. There is no evidence, and they'll speak right past that. These people that want green religion transformation of your society, they're criminals. They will use any excuse to sell you under the roof, to be what P.T. Barnum said, as a sucker born every minute. We have a global container full of suckers, apparently. And so those that didn't get this sticker are going to be the witnesses to something. And I hope it's not too bad. I hope that nature's immune system is really the unstated hero here. The thing that they don't want to agree with, that we have an immune system, is actually the working, even against their best shot at this point. The best sticker. Because maybe I'm having a little bit of fun with this one. This is so ridiculous, and it's all coming out. As we could have seen, and here's the serious part. This is still ongoing. They're still using the taint of all this and the influence they got with people to move us into it moves into the next steps. And we can move past that as the gun law changes, and you see, and I tell you, don't look at what they're saying, that you still have your rights. Look at how they're going to undermine your foundation of what you think is you. Where you stand, that you think you're innocent. don't underestimate that your ignorance, that you already are not innocent. You're presumed guilty, like they presumed a harm on the world contagion. Right? This is how these folks work. And then the other side is the so-called precautionary principle. Well, we're going to put ourselves in all these really big bubbles, and their bubbles are going to be bulletproof. In fact, that'd probably be a better thing against the Second Amendment. We're all going to be bubble-proofed. We're all going to be protected, and we're all going to live a really nice life, and our bodily functions will be contained. There will be no carbon in the world. There won't be life after a while, but that's neither here nor there to these people. Again, they aren't even about that. They're about chain transforming your politics, because there's money in it for them. This all devolves down to a financial construct, servitude. And we see, we don't have to question where that's going. But moving in back through how they really got this thing and got you positioned, and most people, if you didn't do it, most people, and they've built now, I want to show you your vulnerability if you didn't, if you were asymptomatic and didn't. They are building the vulnerabilities in now, though they attach what they've been after the entire time, this green agenda, so-called, by many names. They are going to bring you into the servitude of a presumption that takes away everything, and you aren't looking at it correctly to be able to defend yourself against that fraud. And they made it complicated just enough that you don't, when they put you before the courts, because all the you'll have due process, they claim, you won't know how to address that as a fraud or as a lack of jurisdiction, which I talk about all the time. It's critical. MSN quietly deleted that story, revealing that severe COVID-19 is rarely found in the unvaccinated. And so you see this give and take. I don't know why. There's no answer. It's a tweet. Again, RJ Kasem, and Kasem gives us the heads up on that. Just to show you how the game is played, we understand that, but that there is the game being played. If that was the truth and the MSN was truth, why wouldn't they just tell us? It's not part of the plan. See, it's not part of what their function is. Again, doing what? Confirming what we already know, that they're just part of the system of governance, not government, but the system of governance, a given license to lie to you and omit information by omission here. Taking it all away. As we hear the harms and we hear the distinction between those with taking stickers for the refrigerator, I suppose, and those not, and we see we now move into the worst of it, that we start to see the proof of what the first trials were exposing. The FDA official, Dr. Peter Marks, says vaccinated kids have a fivefold increase of myocarditis. I really was going to say that correctly the first time. So just the title, folks. I don't know this guy. I don't know anything about him. I'm sure he's not in official capacity. Maybe anymore. And if he is, listen, I suppose. This is just a consistent harm that comes from the sticker. Yeah, it leaves a little bit of goo on your refrigerator when you put that sticker there. No, this is a serious, detrimental, life-changing goo. And so, I don't know what to say. This is writing on the wall. This is in the studies. The vaccinated kids have a fivefold increase as we hear what they're doing with that, with these five-year-olds moving to get there, though. Before you can be a five-year-old, we also find this in part of the agenda and part of what the Deagle website would explain to us, given this now can actually happen. COVID stickers paper on declining sperm counts is even worse than it seems at first. An analysis of this condition now with information that is soft-pedaled by the authors, as you'll read the story, out of the Journal of Andrology, publishing a peer-reviewed paper showing a large decrease in sperm counts among men after the second dose of Pfizer's mRNA sticker. Based on counts from men who donated sperm to 3 fertility clinics in Israel, this finding is devastating listen, folks, medically and politically. So we're talking right on the point of what the premeditated attack was on, even from this statement. And then the pipsqueak, the elephant in the room, sitting there being the central hub for the adverse reactions they forced their people to go through. It was a genocide on those people as well. This is, has nothing to do with, what can I say? I don't even know what, being nice, being goodwill among men. No, this is all to produce a move, an agenda, to place yourself in a position of power relative to that agenda. And we see it coming right out of the place that I predicted would be the hub of first knowledge of some of this because of the way they implemented this thing so strenuously without any tests before, despite the tests showing the preliminaries, showing all the harm. Based on counts for men who donated sperm, 3 fertility clinics in Israel, the finding is devastating both medically and politically. Should send the shockwave through when you see that politically no jurisdiction challenges. Okay? So I don't think that the heads are going to roll politically here, and I don't think that's the politics they're talking about. It cuts to the heart of the hottest button question of all about the mRNA shots, whether there are hidden fertility risks. I'm going to stop reading here. They talk about ever since media fact checkers, the public authorities have dismissed and mocked the concerns of anyone who raised them. Again, this is the point of the media. There was no hidden risks. They were facially a problem. What the question was the extent that the male got affected. Well, now we find that it was. The female wasn't just a threat to the female in a study. It was a threat to the female by non-symptomatic contact. Remember, I talked about that. And that was where my bee venom theory was developed in trying to figure out what's the analog to this. What's the vector? That's where we started to get, where I started to get, this was a chemical weapon. And then I did the analysis to figure out how we could show that to be the fact. And I think that still holds up. So I'm going to stop here. Males are affected. Apparently, when you get past the sugarcoat, more devastating than would be admitted. And we bring up the concept of fact checker because this starts to come up later here in the tabs relative to the so-called fact checker. And there's nothing different about what those of us that are unstickered, our refrigerator is clean of any stickers, can see very clearly. Continuing on, now we bring up more confirmation. Before we can become a 5-year-old, we need to come from our father and maybe get past our mother. We want to kill her, our little alien body is to her. Pfizer document reveals high rate of vaccinated pregnant women who lost their babies. So of all those 5-year-olds that aren't going to make it, that now will have myocarditis. It started here right with the delivery of the chemical weapon. According to traditional medicine, vaccines were never given to pregnant women or even those who are trying to conceive. mRNA vaccines were and still are not approved by the FDA and yet are being widely promoted to pregnant women in a complete flip-flop of successful medical practice. The real science no longer matters. Pseudoscience is calling the shots. It's actually statistics. Okay? This is why I really have a problem with this pseudo thing, but I understand what the word means. I understand it's probably proper, but it's just, I'm getting a bit tired of we bring all that's holy and we bind it up with all that's fraud and crime. And I understand science is not holy, but it is an endeavor of the human frailties and trying to find ourselves better in the creation of it all, isn't it? So we have the women now, the records in and better. Remember, those Pfizer documents were gotten by one maybe honorable attorney or lawyer in the world who is trying to bring forth this problem, who had got the courts to understand that they couldn't let the CDC or Pfizer not spend 55 years to give this documentation. And the writing that was on the wall is now spilling into the streets, bleeding off of the walls, to invade and infest our people. And I don't know what more the question is that we continue to allow it. Continue to move through this. To become a five-year-old, we have to go through our mother and our father. They're being affected. And yet, when we make it through now, we're going to be facing more threat. If it wasn't enough, the gauntlet that we're faced as a little one moving through, the 1.3 million reports in injuries after COVID vaccines, there's data show as CDC meets to rubber stamp shots for the kids under five, little goats under five. If you pass through the gauntlet of your mother's and father's infertility and you come into the world and make it 5 years, they're going to come after you with their sticker yet again. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, CDC today released a new data showing about 1,300,000 so-called 1,000 reports of adverse events. You think that's a safe and sane medical procedure? I don't know what to say about it. I don't even want to talk to you. I don't even want to hear from you. Just put your face in a pillow and scream. I don't even understand how we get to the point when that number shows up and the scream isn't to have these people, meet justice. And then when you find out that maybe the equity courts and chancery courts will argue they are powerless to stop fraud that harms you by an official, then maybe we'll consider what the founding fathers and appreciate what they said about preserving to the people the right to alter and abolish the government as they see fit. As we see, it addresses maladministration of government. You smell that fresh hemp rope, folks, in the oak trees. So hear them move the air going through their leaves. Maybe one day, and I think that should be presented as the threat, and we want these people to act right. We want people to understand they had obligations. The immediate answer is not necessarily the best answer. 1.3 million people harmed as the CDC rubber stamps shots for little goats under five. I'll say it that way because these whole things, remember, started military veterinary. So that's what the United States is doing. We might make it to 5 years old after we run the gauntlet of the Pfizer harms, but they're going to come after us again at 5 years old if we make it that far. And yet there's a witness in the Danish Health Authority mistake to recommend the stickers for all children, top Danish health official states. Now, what's interesting about this is they do not state that they actually congratulate the parents, so-called custodians of the wards of the state, who did vaccinate before on their suggestion. But they claim now, but at the same time, and this is an important thing to maintain confidence, he says, I will admit and say that we have become wiser and we would not do the same today. And we will not do that in the future either. If you think you can rely on the experts and your leaders, and you can see the deny, deny, deny rule of law and democracy claims, deny, deny, do never admit, actually praise and give the carrot to those that just assassinated their future. There's a lot to say in this statement, but understand the health authority there is saying they would never do this again. What the CDC is just rubber stamped. And I say that my mind wants to scream, my mind screaming, and I don't do that screaming real well for y'all. Get your kids out, folks. Move your little goats to your own little farm. Teach them well. Protect them as best you can. Learn better how to protect yourself from authority that has gone insane and now has been given the tools and are given the tools to decide whether you're sane or not. as we then see more confirmation of what was said right before, that these are not authorized to the technocracy site. Major victory for military Rona sticker objector. This was an interview written from Cheryl Atkinson's website. She was a news reporter. Somehow I remember her when I was watching TV decades and decades ago. I don't know, just an old memory, I guess. She seemed to be a pretty good reporter. If I remember right, I think her husband, I think she's married, is another good reporter. And then, for my mind, they slipped from awareness. But she did it. I think it's her that she did an interview with Navy Lieutenant Bill Moseley, who recently won his case of vaccine. See, I keep doing that sound minds. I'm sorry. Through a sticker objection before an administrative separation board. We talked a little bit about the military and its. And the people in the military attempting to not want to agree on the strenuous rejection that the military was giving. Now, this lieutenant actually prevails. The board is compromised and explains what the board is compromised of and how they came to the decision and who Lieutenant Moseley was in his character, which was, as they say here, there was not a scrap of bad paper in his entire career until the sticker mandate rolled out. And so he prevails as they go through important because one of the reasons they gave for this was, in fact, there is no FDA-approved product available for the military, and so they cannot require military members to take an experimental or emergency use authorization. And number two, as written in this article, given the potential for adverse effects, especially on young, healthy military-age people, the mandate isn't reasonably necessary. And I needed to interject here. It can't even be shown to be needed at all where the local health official has not identified the infectious agent. And we know there is no test. And so this even falls short a bit there, but for him, congratulations for fighting to the end, bringing out the truth. It's not really authorized, and it really shouldn't be used for little ones. And if it's not good for little ones, how can they say it's good for bigger ones? And so congratulations to that, and thank you to Cheryl Atkinson, which is, like I said, pleasant idea of her news reporting, if I remember right. She used to do, I think, some pretty good work. So I felt comfortable just advancing that without too much more inquiry. The point is, it's not authorized, not authorizable. It's an emergency still, and they're going to stick your little goats. CDC recommends we move on. Despite all that, the CDC, again, the experts say, under statistics, not science, recommends three Oregon counties start using masks indoors again. What I want to point out on this story, just to show you how the politics works, is not about medicine. It's about politics, not only with the overreach of the federal CDC over the state authority, just capitulating, handing over their sovereign decisions and the legislature's requirements to follow certain methodologies for communicable disease subject matters. The CDC recommends, as an indication, but I wanted to point out here, they mentioned a couple of counties. Lane County is mentioned, which I do not know about. They do mention Douglas County and Jackson County. I found it very interesting. And they may have thrown, I don't know if Lane did an objection, but I know Douglas County and Jackson County have been a very, if you will, as vocal as a county can be, a vocal opposition to the governor, that these are the two counties that are targeted for this alone. When we know, they have just ended the idea that COVID-19 actually exists. That's above the fact we know there is no test. And that state, no jurisdiction has followed the legislature's mandate to identify an infectious agent. They have all said that police power can be invoked by the presumption of a disaster, not its existence. And so I just wanted to point out here the politics that goes on, the crime that goes on, the encouragement to crime that goes on, and the embrace of the state to allow the crime to go on, to attack the opposition, even if you're a county. Something in the back of my mind says Blaine County may have made some objection as well. But I just wanted to point out, I know Douglas County and Jackson County were very, very vocal in their and challenge to the governor that this comes out was, in a way, laughable. I look at it as an object for these counties to actually press back harder, double down, if you will, that the in face of all this harm, in face of the proof that the CDC rubber stamps, crime, rubber stamps, the felony, rubber stamps, fraud, and then has the gall to come out and attack people who are trying to stop that. That really is the epitome of the failure of what's going on in this country overall. Why it's on its head is exampled right in here. But enough said that I just found it interesting that at least two of the counties that are now ordered, recommended for masks were the most vocal against the imposition of the fraud. I don't know, the fraud. So now I'm going to move on here to, and I forgot what I was going to use as a segue to this, but it happened last week, and I may be beyond really talking about it. I just want to point out something, because they were talking about evidence. All these things are, as we come up to the story that's following this, so I may have had it out of turn, the fact checkers. Remember I talked about fact checkers before? That is what I wanted to focus on now, running this through. They do all this without any facts, without any actual objective basis. All this whole stuff. All, as I said, we saw like Nikki Rapana, and I appreciate your emails to me thanking me for that, and thank you for acknowledging that in her, the importance of what her work was and the lead that she can give for you. But we talked a little bit about she talked about this problem as well. It's the usurpation of the fact of the laws for the implementation through different processes in one Hegelian dialectic to get you to buy into something, offering alternatives without real proof and without real substance and totally disregarding any vested right that may be there to be regarding. And it's in the law already, so it's not like they're not doing anything illegal because they've given you that right out, if you knew where it was, that looking at facts and objective basis and working on presumption, I'm getting more sensitive to listening for what's the actual proof. And something came up last week, I think it was, and I may be a bit outdated on it, but I wanted to offer an insight just to show that we need, I think, to be looking and listening for the evidence, the real evidence. Find the duty to provide it, or find that someone's making an excuse or some kind of a claim of a causation. And I think because of the nature of what we're walking, the uncertainties we're walking into, we need to be more discerning and demanding of people to provide evidence. That I think, moving backwards in a week here, because I couldn't get to it last week, we're going to move back to that cattle die-off or that cattle killing or whatever, whatever story is out there. I want to move that, and I want to observe something that kind of troubled me. I may have spent a little bit too much time on this, because it's okay for me to give up that it was that heat that they had, that little heat spell went through Kansas, the southwest Kansas, killed some cow. There is a condition that could happen, but I've talked to some people. I'm not a cattle guy. I have talked even with friends who raise very small herds of cattle. In areas where the temperature can change, in fact, we just went from April, springtime till the beginning of last week till August. I hope none of our cows died locally, because we just went from 60 degree temperatures and we're into 100 to 102 overnight. I hope our cattle didn't die. But that's just another highlight of the point that I started to realize. I'm hearing lots of experts, but I'm not hearing any facts. And this is what caused me to start to focus. And I said, okay, well, there's something even more interesting about this. It's terrible that those 10,000, it's claimed 10,000 of feedlot cattle. We got to kind of focus in on that a little bit. Die. And it's claimed, and the veterinaries were quick to come out and stamp out all the conspiracy theories. And some are pretty stupid, I have to admit to them. That to say, no, it was the heat. It was the change of the heat. What I found interesting, I mean, there's even more a dynamic world about that that's fascinating. The science of this is fascinating. not about the cattle, but about the condition they said that caused it. And that caused me to start thinking. I'm hearing words, but I'm not seeing evidence. Now, at this point, I just have what I found, what I read, what I could find. And so I'm going to go through a little bit here, not because I'm going to throw out a bunch about the cattle. They died. And I'm good with it could have been heat. It could have been. But there's no real evidence, and there is a way to get some evidence. I didn't know at the time what it might be, but I went down and I finally ran across a standard that could be done. And that's what got me to question what I'm doing today, what we need to do to start looking at this. So what I found in moving through a whole bunch of stuff, like I said, I may have put more time in this, in investigating things. But on the back of my mind, I also have something else. We're told not climate change, but that the weather would change. And this was told way back years and decades ago, that and this is why I was intrigued when this jet stream hit the Rockies that one year. And I said, okay, that's what they told us was coming. Well, I'm going to tell you again, that's what they told us was coming. The atmospheric dynamics are going to be such, and this is when they're talking about going into the cold, the ice age, if you will. It's going to be a long one, but a small one, not as deep as it can go, if it goes there. That when that starts to happen, there's going to be major changes, which the green religion glommed onto to alter that perception. That I'm still looking at the science, I think, what we were told then, and looking for the signs and signals. Not that I can change it, not that I can tell you, but I wanted to kind of venture into something, because it brought up something else, and then highlights this fact that we're told something, but there's no evidence for it even. Even though I can agree, maybe he killed those cattle. And too bad. Fact check. Death of cattle. Kansas cattle in June 2022 caused by extreme temperatures, officials in industry said. And they go on to say into this Reuters discussion is really how so many different theories popped up. And the first obvious nonsense they bring up was a Facebook post. Responding to this, saying the billionaire tech mogul Bill Gates is a reasonable candidate for consideration in killing about 3,000 cows in southwest Kansas under very mysterious and unknown circumstances, which is a way to diverge from an actual rational question. And this article goes through to debunk how Bill Gates could have that statement could be true, which is, I mean, on my mind, my face of it, I don't even know, there's no real article to write on it, but they did. That's the other problem. But they talk about fact-checking. And they say there's no evidence. In this article, the verdict is there's no evidence. There is no evidence that Bill Gates is involved in the death of 2,000 cattle. Fine. Okay. I don't know that anybody would actually, in their right mind looking at this, would actually come up with that. But someone did. Someone posted it, maybe for effect. But I'm now focused that Reuters says there has to be evidence, and that was my problem. The heat stress kills estimated 10,000, and they had the veterinaries coming out to keep the record straight. But I went on and looked at the problem with the fact checkers. The story pops up all at the same time. A top fact checker, USA Today, forced to delete articles over fabricated sources. So I'll just end it right there. The thing is not about going after the fact checkers, it's that the fact checkers aren't. The fact checkers are part of the media, they're part of the propaganda campaign system. They're part of what our danger is and why we have to discern. They took a ton of time to be found out, is the other problem, that their fact checking articles were fabricated. And this is the other problem. They were found out in some. We don't know about the rest. And they did delete them, but that's the evidence of the crime, isn't it? To know the fact checkers are not actually reliable, like we would know, but I want to say this because they did do a fact-checking proof, if you will, over a ludicrous assertion and proved that it was ludicrous, right? No evidence. But I'm focused on the evidence. Okay, these fact checkers need to support evidence, and USA Today was found not to have any on 23 presentations to you all, convincing you that something was going on that was a lie. And so I move on, another link, a heat stress reportedly kills 10,000 cattle in Kansas. Could there be another cause? Very interesting statement. Okay, good. Reportedly kills 10,000. That's my problem. It's only reported that it killed, the heat killed. It was called heat stress. There's a thing called heat stress. There's a heat stress index. These people in ranching know all about this. I guess it's called farming back east, United States, but eastern United States. But ranching, these people know about their animals. There's money involved, and I understand pretty decent money. The cattle that died was worth about 2,000. I was figuring about 1,500. I wanted to see what's the dollar value of the loss. And my valuation was like $15 million overnight. They lost. These people, these ranchers don't want to lose that. Unless it's an insurance scam, and there hasn't been any reports on that at this point. The current heat wave in Kansas, this is like last week, has reportedly killed an estimated 10 cattle. Let me stop there. It goes through who it was. And the problem is, when you go read enough and find out, it was in a small, there was all over the state, but there was a small area that really had the highest losses. And it wasn't just one feedlot. And that's the other point. Go look, and I had to go to a picture of feedlots. I wanted to know, how do these cattle arrange themselves in a feedlot, and what's their density? And it's a little dense, but it wasn't as shoulder to shoulder, if you will. But I also noticed, made some other notice. I wanted to notice what, how they're held. What is the feedlot pen? The paddocks. Remember paddocks? Las Vegas shooting? multiple Kansas feedlots were reportedly hit by a string of scorching temperatures over the week. Okay, so there's making statements. And I'm wanting to know where is the evidence? And my mind is really now I'm focused on, because I hear all these people. What culminated my view is when the expert speaks, he doesn't provide evidence. Veterinarians work to quash misinformation about Southwest Kansas cattle deaths. They work to quash the misinformation, but they didn't work to give us evidence of the fact, was what caught my mind on my eye on that title. Now, we can keep going through these stories. They were all pretty consistent. Just want to focus now. The veterinarians in Southwest Kansas say there is a lot of misinformation circulating online in connection with the thousands of sudden cattle deaths. That's fine. There was. From a veterinarian, I want to know the cause, though. They're the ones that are trained to find out. And that led me on to the next point. As I'm now investigating, I'm not a veterinarian, but I'm a veterinarian. I mean, we've been treated by veterinarian care, Rona, and our little goats and all this, so I'm a veterinarian. What the heck? How would I be searching this out? Am I going to say, I'm just going to say? Or as a veterinarian, when someone comes to me, am I going to give a cause? Am I going to try and find out? Well, interestingly, I ran across in this study a veterinarian handbook disease finder. And you can go to the link I'm going to give you to get to the overall index. But I'm going to focus directly for the broadcast on what I had in mind. And I'm doing this kind of backwards. Because what I had in mind after I looked at the paddocks, the way the pens were made, that they were all made out of metal, and I noticed that the cattle all were around the feed troughs or along the fence post, the rails. I also noticed that, like I said, they are metal. And what my problem was is all this time, the lingering idea that everybody said there was no wind, it was a heat thing. There's an actual meteorological condition called a heat burst. It's caused by at least two different conditions that was mentioned to be existing. The problem is one of the heat bursts is actually caused by the Rockies, and that's what got me thinking. Now outside, what's coming in for weather? And that none, even though all the reports said by verbal that there was no wind, no rain, no nothing, all the atmospheric reports from the weather stations were saying there was weather, or very, very, very close. And so that got me to thinking a weather dynamic that's not proven because there's nobody doing any checking. They're just saying. And on this site, a veterinary handbook disease, I found this thing called electrocution. Why did I go there? Because I also heard that there was actually winds. There was actually weather going on. It was coming in from the Rockies. It came from the weather that was Montana, Yellowstone's floods. And I'm thinking this is a big dynamic storm moving in, and they've been complaining about upwelling from the Gulf. That is a big front to be hitting, colliding together. There's got to be some weather. And my thought is the big colliders and coming together and thunderstorms, which were reported but not seen. I don't know. All this was invisible. You folks in Kansas, you have standard 30-knot winds all the time on the plane there. When it goes to 10 or 12 knots, you must not feel the breeze. And yet 10 or 12 knots, even it may be enough like around where I'm at to knock stuff out of the trees. And so I'm taking cognizance of all this, and I'm thinking this weather dynamic, you got cold coming out of the Rockies, and the dynamic that happens out of the high temperature of cold air coming off the Rockies is a compression or a heating just from that condition. And then you also have this thunderstorm. The air concentration after a thunderstorm that causes a heat burst, which could kill them if it was, I guess, a thing that can be seen to happen overnight. But I'm looking at something else. I'm looking for evidence. Is there a way to say, were these animals electrocuted? Now, I looked and I couldn't find anybody that was talking about any kind of storms. But I'm looking at something to try and say, I want evidence. How do you do the evidence? I want an autopsy. I have a link on a website on the search engine for that. If you go back to the website with the veterinary handbook, it tells you and you read through how you do the autopsies and what you're looking for in the organs. That I haven't heard one autopsy, one veterinarian saying, we took some cows and we looked at them, we opened them up, and this is what we found. And you know, I found some stories out of India you don't have the links for, that 18 elephants died, and they could not know from looking at them what killed those elephants. They suspected electrocution. They did not know if it was poison, though. You can't tell from the outside. The veterinary handbook tells me if you do an autopsy, you can tell heat stress death versus electrocution death. Now, what am I saying, electrocution? How do I prove that? All the stories said there was no weather there, no wind, no nothing. Well, electrocution doesn't require a thunderstorm. It requires the elements to create a discharge. I can see a storm coming, called from the mountains right there in the Rockies, coming down, racing down, causing a heat compression, raising temperatures overnight, which they show. You can see for 2 hours. 2 hours wasn't enough for causing heat stress. And I'm not arguing it's not heat stress. I'm just pointing out something. We're looking for evidence. Where was the autopsies? If the veterinary handbook says you can tell the difference and you have to do the autopsy to see the difference between heat stress death and electrocution and any other style death like that, there's like five different types of death. Instantaneous death requires these autopsies. The organs are treated, are different. That I'm still looking to see now, okay, in the absence of a heat stress evidence by autopsy, is it possible it was something else? Not to say it was, it just, is it possible? Why? We're still in a dearth of evidence. And so prove me wrong, not to say I'm proving it right, but prove me wrong that it was electrocution. I just went and found a hail map out of Ulysses, Kansas. And sure enough, their radar map shows hail just in that area. You don't get hail without thunderstorms. Why these people aren't seeing thunderstorms all around them, I don't know. Why they're not seeing downdrafts, I don't know. They think 12-knot winds, it was reported by the weather company, is nothing, I guess. There was no wind, they said. No thunderstorms, no nothing, no rain. Lightning doesn't need rain. It can strike over 15 miles away. I have evidence of radar returns of hail. You don't get hail without thunderstorms. What are thunderstorms caused by? The collision of two fronts. In my case, when I saw the Gulf coming up, and it was just overheating the entirety of the central United States, it's being slammed by this cold air coming out of essentially Montana over the Rockies. I think I have as much a statement, at least a potential cause, to say that there was a lightning strike. And I went to the Lightning WeatherGov Lightning Myths website, and I look right here, and it says lightning can spread out some 60 feet after striking Earth. A radial horizontal arcing has been measured at least 20 meters from the point where lightning hits ground, depending on soil characteristics, safe conditions for people and equipment near lightning termination points. Ground rods may need to be reevaluated. They mentioned somewhere here if not in this one, in another one, animals are killed all the time by light. My thought flashed to the Indian, East Indian people underneath these big trees that all of a sudden they get struck by lightning and they're all dead. They're all standing around the tree thinking that was going to save them. They tell, explain in these myths, don't do that. Well, I know that. What I'm looking for is there a plausible application beyond heat stress, because there is nobody I know that says heat stress caused that. That I'm looking for the experts to produce evidence. My whole core argument here is we are too accepting, even if we deny it, or it could be anything, we're not insisting on the evidence instead. I don't want to know about all the misinformation. I want to see the evidence. I want those so-called experts, the one trained to do so, come forward and show me your skills. I found an objective basis for how to do that. It's in the veterinary law, policy books, the books, the handbook. Lightning goes beyond 20 meters. Well, if I'm looking at a bunch of cattle in a paddock and they're standing around a metal fence and they're around metal feed troughs and the lightning that may strike one end of the paddock frame somewhere is around the majority of the cattle in those feedlots, and lightning can strike twice and or strike multiple times in one stroke. It's fascinating what lightning can do. Maybe, just maybe, the instantaneous death that we heard for those cattle wasn't heat stress. And I'm still looking for the first autopsy to have the veterinarian now tell me, because I've read the veterinary handbook. No, I'm not a veterinarian, but I can read. And they say the organs display differently between the two types and as to poison as well. That we could eliminate these questions. And I think the problem that gets me here is that we continue the questions by continuing the discussion and not say, hey, let's get an autopsy. The state wants to come in and say we're going to help them all we can. Then we want to know, because climate's changing, you know. We're told the weather's going to be changing, especially right there by the Rockies and the downfall, the flow. The compressive flow that comes from the Rockies, it's going to destabilize that whole area. We want to know that ahead of time. Was it a clear air lightning? Was it 15 miles away from the fronts that created the hail that was raised up in the thunderstorms? That's the only way that I know that creates. Because if we're going to think it's heat stress and it's this other weather dynamic, we're going to be behind. We're going to watch more food be destroyed. We're going to be continuing to do the wrong thing. We let the experts continue to think for us instead of us thinking on our own. And I guess that's my main gripe. We've been too long giving over to these experts without saying, impress me with your skills. You were trained, now show me. Give me the evidence. Give me the non-fraudulent exigency. Is that the different question than that? And we didn't. And so they continue on. It doesn't matter. I want to understand, too, 10,000 cattle is a loss. But I think looking around, that's about a five-day loss from those feedlots. In other words, we're interfered by quite a number of Angus, I think it was Angus cattle product. But that's a little blip. That's not really a threat. There's lots of animals that die for lots of reasons every year. It just heightened because of these food processing things that seem to fail. But we have to keep a level head. That's why I want us to do that too. As we go through, we don't want to be pulled by the nose, the ring in our nose, or have a ring put in our nose and then pulled by it. The cattle that we is, the chattel that we're deemed, the animal resource, the human capital. What caused it really? I'm good with heat stress, but where's the evidence? I think I've thrown up I'm not sick. My stomach's fine. I've offered an alternative, and this is the thing that they do. This is the thing the other side does, but it's a nefarious alternative. They offer you an alternative to buy into, and you forget about what you need to do. I'm offering an alternative so that I can get to the fact there was no autopsy done by the veterinarians that were more focused on misinformation than giving us the actual facts. And this leads us into more onto this other thing. We don't want to blow this out. If it's a little blip in the process, I can't afford that beef anyway. So it doesn't matter to me. I'm not buying that beef. Someone was. But that's going to be covered over time. There's going to be losses. There's going to be what those ranchers do. As terrible as that sounded, I don't like, well, they were going to be killed anyway, weren't they? Now they're going to go to the rendering farm instead of the food farm. Yeah. And so it's just the way we work. It's how that happens. But I'd like to know for sure, because if climate's going to change, I don't want it to be the political climate changing that I am blind to, but I also don't want to walk out with my umbrella the day that clear air lightning hits me, because no one told me about the heat burst coming from the high altitude air compressing and causing these thunderstorms that I don't even see. In fact, the winds, if you look at the weather, the winds were perfect for this dynamic. Whether it happened or not, I'm not saying. I'm just saying I'm offering the alternative that until some autopsy's done and the veterinarian handbook is objective in how that would be determined, I want to know where the evidence is and why haven't we been hearing about it, that we continue down this lingering condition, which feeds into our another hysteria of sorts. And again, I'm not saying it's not happening, but a lot of food stuff goes on in this country. And I'm suspicious of these another food processor plant erupts in flames things. But I also noticed within the stories that I've been trying to warn us so that we don't go nuts. We don't go hysterical. We start looking at the truth of it so we understand where to position ourselves and understand what we're really supposed to look at. Heat compression and thunderstorms, you're not stopping. You're just going to have to be careful of getting protected against it. If it's a lie from a veterinarian saying it's heat stress, because they got some other thing going on, we want to know about that. Maybe that guy's incompetent, too. Maybe we need to get him out because those ranchers need to have a better veterinarian. I'm not saying that the story guy was. I'm just saying that's what they have him focused on. Instead of him standing his ground and saying, no, I'm a veterinary. I'm a veterinarian. I'm going to do it by the handbook. We're going to find out. And I'm saying you all have to do that. You all have to be your own lawyer, your own veterinarian, your own this, that, and the other. If you're not already, if you do natural stuff and can't afford the cost of a professional like me, I got to figure out my things that I can do. I assure that my listeners do the same thing. And if all that stuff that you can rely on yourself, you do. I'm not challenging that at all. I'm just saying this is all way beyond what even I would be interested in. But I want to keep an even keel on my interpretation and not be deceived about what's going on, deceive myself. And the evidence has to be there that another U.S. food processing plant erupts in flames, kind of feeds into this food destruction thing, which could be going on. But keeping a level head in the scheme of things, if we hand it over even to heat stress, is a natural thing going on. Every year, millions of animals seem to die. They get rendered for other products, but they don't become food. We become sensitive when we start seeing our food, and we know they're going after our food. We know there's a plan to go after our food, and whether they make it so you can't buy it, so you got no money, and it sits there on the shelf or not, or the destruction, the subsidy against it. We see there's a problem that's not making sense when the government itself is claiming there is a lack of supply by whatever means. Now, I want to point out another U.S. food processing plant erupts in flames, a report that goes through and identifies these things and goes on and on about all this stuff and identifies for you. I want to point out that in this list, and I think if this is the correct story, that goes through a pretty objective approach in looking at how these things are actually going. Where's the evidence? And the problem here is one, it's an indirect one. We don't have any reports saying, I think it says in this story, there hasn't been no investigation that has shown arson. There hasn't been any evidence of a nefarious thing. The unlikely as it sounds, two airplanes crashing, they claim, in the food processors within the same week, I think it was. Oh, that's the destruction. Well, if you look closely, the one fell near the processing center, not on it. And the other one was a caravan aircraft. The girl who piloted that was capable. I was impressed, actually, with how she did her first approach and go-around. It was, impeccable. She was a capable pilot. The problem is when you look at that, there's a smokestack right in her way, and the FAA is cool with it, and they don't explain to people that the new avionics doesn't calculate to get you into that airport to avoid those towers. And she was in IFR conditions, making an approach of minimums. She fell on the roof of that place. So the point I'm saying is the evidence is that was not, these are not nefarious. The evidence is both of those processors didn't actually get shut down. I don't want us to go to hysteria. I need us to look further down the road if we're going to anticipate that to identify the real organized austerity that's coming. So that we understand, like I said last week, we hear people talking, we're actually in a year delay. If things are happening this year, the supply line delay happens for us next year. Let's not run our race too soon, I guess is the other object. That I don't want to, as I see these stories, keep looking for the evidence, apply it correctly. The airplanes, one didn't even hit the processor, there was near it. That was a hysteria. The other one landed on top. That was pretty bad, but it wasn't because it was nefarious. That girl wasn't planning to kill herself, wasn't planning any of what happened to her. It's a tragedy. I feel bad about that because that's a regulation thing. That's the government should have been all over that one. Now you can go, it's always pilot error at some point. I get that, but that's not, when you're faced as a pilot in IFR condition, you can't see a thing, and you got minimums you're looking through, and then you're looking into a steam-covered chimney. I don't know how you put all that together fast enough to avoid the harm you've been put in that you didn't know about. So anyway, there's a way, there's some things we really necessarily need to understand. Sometimes maybe we shouldn't group all this stuff together. We don't necessarily want to be given over to heat stress in this case. If it's not, if it is fine, if it's not, we want to know what actually caused it. Why it's important to demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. Well, I keep stressing this because we've gotten away from that. And the more we get away from it, the more we are more unable to understand how to get to what we need to do when an official comes or an expert comes to tell us how it's going to be, who attack us because we are the ones that actually sound off, like the masks being put on the three counties that are the most vocal against the imposition. We look at the FBI warns of attacks on food plants after rash of mysterious fires. The FBI is understanding what's going on. We talked about it last week. There's been some knowledge, but they have knowledge about what the hackers are doing to all this as well. It may not be natural, some of this. And so, again, what is reality? What is what we need to focus on? New Mexico wildfire sparks anger at Forest Service. Another fire. You don't think that's as dangerous as the food system going down? This is what they do to attack us. This is a whole other story. This gets us into what we've been doing with the fire policy. They say in this story, for the first time I've ever seen, that they're going to revisit their prescription fire burn fire policy. That was never said before we did the work we did here relative to a county and a county commissioner being acknowledged by the President of the United States standing on the podium in Washington explaining how this was being done to the people. This was all known before it got to New Mexico, and the Forest Service finally blinked. You can, too, cause that to happen. Hope I said something today that inspires you to get involved, protect yourself, look to it, protect yourself, look forward enough, don't learn to discern, don't get into the hysteria, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Ruler.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.